Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Sri Rajagata Vishnu Sri Samadhi Bhakti Nirmal Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Sulabhakti Sundar Vandadeva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Sulabhakti Rakashidardeva Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sapadikarshi Sri Guru Gauranga Sundar Vandadeva Sundar Guru Ki Jai. Guru Gauranga Radha Madan Mohan Guru Ki Jai. Radha Gopinath Guru Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Purnitananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Bhakti Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Sundara Radha Sundara Giri Gauranga Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jumana Devi Bhakti Devi Sati Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishnu Gavarena Sulayasa Bhakti Lanta Shami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sanyasi Brahma Ki Jai. Seva Brahma Ki Jai. Sula Gadadhar Pandadaru Bab Mahamahotra Ki Ti Ki Jai. Siyama Vasra Ki Jai. Samavira Bhakti Brahma Ki Jai. Nikai Go Pramanande. Now we say after that Chaturdashi is the Purnima. And not a Jyotishi or an astrologer. So we go 13, 14, 15. But everything has some significance. This external point of view and the internal point of view, ontological. It's like in the Gita, Krishna says, Margashir Soham. He mentions the month, November, December, that's his month. So Srila Guru Maharaj says, by interpretation, understanding, then the month that precedes Krishna's month, that must be the month of Radharani, Kartik month, the one before that. So Krishna says, I'm this month, then you're going to understand the month right before that is Radharani. So he says, you know, we know Krishna Janmastami, Astami. Radharani, you know, we say Radhastami, another Astami. So sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, you know, you put two Astamis together and you get a Purnima, Gaur Purnima. So you combine Radharani and Krishna, Astami, Astami, Purnima, Mahaprabhu. But because sometimes also, this is the way of conceiving the inconceivable, you can say, because theism, unlike what people commonly misread, misunderstand, they're always looking for some sort of evidence for belief. And really, theism isn't based on conventional forms of evidence. Sometimes they mention even this Gödel's theorem, where he says there are, and I'm paraphrasing, succinct, that there are things which are true that cannot be proven. So sometimes Guru Maharaj think we're devotees of the invisible. There's another system to understand things, just like the X-ray reveals what is hidden beneath the surface. So the culture of faith, Upanayan, Ajnana Timurandasya, Jnanam Jana Salakaya, Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. These two boys on the train were Brahmins. And they understand what Upanayan means. In one sense, it's a reference to the giving of the sacred thread, the sacred mantram, etc. But it also means, through interpretation, we can understand it means a new way of seeing. a new perspective, sambandha, avideya, prayojan, kind of vision that is extended from the lotus feet, acquired in connection with the association and service of the lotus feet of Sri Guru, is how to see properly, conceptually. Interestingly, when discussing Gadadhar Pandit and certain things, how Guru Maharaj segued into the subjective evolution of consciousness and talking about shadow aspects of reality, and he just said, and I'm not going to go into all the details here, but just it's noteworthy. He said there's an object and the shadow of the object. And he said actually the concept of the shadow, not only the shadow, there's an object, the shadow of the object. He said the concept of the shadow is nearer to me than the object. What I am, right, Indriyani, Indriyani, Pranyahu, Indriyevya, Paramanaha, Manasastu, Prabhudheyo, Budhe, Paratastu, Saha. Above objects of experience. Look, understand it this way. I don't want to get too confusing here. We're talking about the soul plane. So if you have an object, Krishna is saying in the Gita, above the object is the senses that perceive objects. But we can, if we don't want to say above, here, just for the sake of what I'm talking about, we can say nearer. Nearer to the soul than the object are the senses that perceive the object. Nearer to the soul than the senses that perceive that object is the mind through which the senses are perceiving the object. Nearer to the soul and the soul plane than the mind that through the senses perceives the object is the intelligence, which is, the discerning. But nearer to the soul than that intelligence, which through the mind and the senses is perceiving and assessing objects, is ego and etc. In other words, that's how you get to the soul plane. So Guru Maharaj says, for him, it's like Gurudev wants to, it's like a boy with a bag of marbles tossing you one of them. He's saying, nearer to me than the object is the shadow, is the concept of the shadow of the object. I mean, that's nearer to the soul plane. Long story short, the substantial subjective evolution of consciousness. He said this is destroying, similar meaning, objective evolution, So he's bringing it to the conscious plane. So if we try to analyze, the reason I'm segueing to this, going on this tangent, is revealed truth is not to be received the same way you're educated about any other subject. So if we're told that Rupa Goswami says, by analysis, jivas have 50 qualities in a liberated position, 55, if you go executive class jiva, Shiva Tattva, 60 qualities, Narayan, 62, Ramachandra, Baladev, 64, Krishna. We're hearing all these numbers, 50, 55, 60, 62, 64. And our minds have a tendency to get carried away with math and quantification as a method to certify the reality of anything. He's just giving an arbitrary system of analysis. Krishna has innumerable qualities. He thinks 64 are prominent. And in a comparative way, not that what makes Krishna Krishna is that he's got 14 more qualities than a jiva, then it becomes silly. He possesses, in addition to having innumerable qualities, these 64 prominent identifiable qualities, he possesses to an infinite degree of magnitude. Right? As soon as we use infinite, we know from school they have to put a symbol. Right? Then they go, pi, you know, dot six, and then they inevitably they put a line, they go, this line will represent infinity. Meaning our brains, they only went for the first three, four, and now they can't function anymore. But that doesn't mean at the end of the story, because your brain reached its level of comprehensional capacity. Right? That's the fool. You know, seeing is believing. No, there's stuff that you can't see that you better start believing in if you want to make sense of the world, your life, existence, what to speak of the ultimate reality. It starts with what cannot be seen. That's why Brahma, Brahmins, those who have a natural predisposition towards spiritual comprehension, what's bewildering and mystifying everyone else, and they're can't get their heads around it. Brahmins understand intuitively. They told those boys on the train, for by Brahman by birth, from Navadvip, Vishnu body, Vishnu Priya body, Mahaprabhu body, everything. But one's a research biologist at, what was it, Cranfield and England and university. But what did I think about that?
Intuitively they can't.
Yeah. No, about, oh, belief. Believing in the invisible. And I lost my train of thought, but I mentioned this as well to them. Anyway, Brahmins, predisposed towards belief. And that which is invisible, that which cannot be seen, that's spiritual culture. So when Rupa Goswami says Krishna possesses these 64 qualities, then later in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, Ramananda Samvad, quoting Raghunath Das Goswami, again not accidental, coincidental, he describes 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani. Again, she possesses innumerable qualities and divine attributes, 25 identifiable as being very prominent. So, Krishna, Guru Maharaj is saying, reality is beautiful. Srimati Radharani, in just a hint, in slokas in the Charitamritam, Rupa Goswami, other great acharyas, one sloka says that, because we say Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. One sloka says that, not that one, but one referring to this sort of concept, her radiance, says gold is painfully ashamed in the presence of her golden radiance, which is inconceivable. I think gold will feel some pain. Like sometimes someone is described as being painfully beautiful. That's people's response. They say, painfully beautiful, yet enchanting. But a sweet type of pain, not suffering in the conventional sense. Right? Bahe Vishujalahoy Vitore Anandamoy Krishna Premara Adhuta Chari. So, if Krishna is reality the beautiful and Srimati Radharani is inconceivably beautiful, predominating moiety, predominated moiety, then back to the 65 and the 25, just for the sake of convenience. If you add the 64 and the 25 together, then you get Mahaprabhu. So Guru Maharaj can write, Swarna Koti Darpa Nava Deho Varna Gauravam Padma Parijata Gandha Banditanga Sauravam Kotikami Murchitangri Rupalasa Rangaram Prema Dama Deva Meva Nome Goda Sundaram. The Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shovam, 10 million cubits personified, can give a hint of the attractive, the all attractive charm, seductive charm of Krishna. Then you are saying here, 10 million cupids will faint to have a glimpse of the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Krishna consciousness, you know, by the grace of our Guru Varga, is really ultimately personified in Srimati Radharani more than Krishna. I say this sometimes just to get people's attention. You know, Krishna is not Krishna conscious. This is like, that will be a scandalous headline. Krishna, you know, not Krishna conscious. You know, then the article, in a startling revelation today, you know, Krishna was understood, was not Krishna was not available for comment. The Vedas could only indicate the direction in which Krishna had apparently, you know, after disclosing that he was in fact not Krishna conscious. Right. Meaning, Krishna, the Adipuru, he's an enjoyer. Krishna consciousness is not about the position of being an enjoyer. That's why we have the audacity to say this. Radharani, on the other hand, she's the personification of Krishna consciousness. Right? Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Sarvadevika. She's the ultimate, the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. Is in her and extended, she can extend Krishna consciousness to others. As Srila Guru Maharaj once said, the faith is the halo of Radharani. So the belief in Krishna, ultimately coming from Krishna in tandem, but really through his agency of his Shakti, his potency. No mijate, bhagavate, paridambaraya. So, now, Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, aparam kasyapi pranayi janabandasya kutuki rasostamam vritva madaram upabokam kamadhiya. That in their loving exchange and these divine pastimes, the curiosity has been aroused in Krishna to understand what it is Radharani finds so appealing about him. The type of happiness she's tasting and experiencing, that joy, and what is the depth of her love for him. This is the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamritam. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidjusho Vana Eva. Vana Eva means what she possesses that no one else possesses. This is the critical. There are so many devotees, different stages, levels of development. Why Rupa Goswami and Upadeshamritam, which Guru Maharaj says Mahaprabhu through the mouth of Rupa Goswami, talked about prema bhaktas, prema ikonishtabha, another higher level, and then the prestalivi, the highest section of Rajagopis and Vrindavan, saying to achieve the seva of the waters of Radha Kunda is a rare achievement for even them, what to speak of others. So in this sloka, Shuk Damodar, he says, Vana Eva means there's something she possesses that no one else possesses. They don't possess Krishna Prem to the degree that she possesses it. Why it's called Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. So Krishna, he wants to experience Mahabhav. But as Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, he can only theoretically understand that. So it occurs to him that he will need to embrace the position of Srimati Radharani in a sense, become her. So there it says he, and then the language of Guru Maharaj, plunders or steals her heart and halo. And that's how he becomes Gauranga Sundar Mahaprabhu. And as in the Arati song, Saraswat Arati, where it says that Radharani is smiling a little bit as Krishna, now as Mahaprabhu, declares, Ami Gauranga Sundar, after he's got the sampat, the wealth of the heart of Srimati Radharani, now he's become Gauranga. But herein lies the mystery of Gadadhar Pandit, as explained by Srila Guru Maharaj. Because he's saying, if you take away the heart and halo of Radharani, what remains? And only Srila Guru Maharaj could express that. Again, it's another unique, original, substantial, siddhantic concept come from Srila Guru Maharaj. Achinoti yashastrartham, the acharya reveals the inner meaning of the scripture. For example, in this Chaitanya Charitamritam, there is one sloka that on the surface appears to be a mystifying. According to siddhantic understanding, it seems to be ontologically problematic. Because it's this comparison of Gadadhar Pandit to Rukmini. Just as when Krishna expands out of Vrindavan into Dwaraka, what he's revealing of his nature is modified or constrained lyrically and according to Dham, abode, things like that. Krishna in Dwaraka is not the full-fledged Swayam Bhagavan of Krishna in Vrindavan. And there, Krishna and Dwaraka is in different abodes in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is predominated by heart. Heart reigns supreme in Vrindavan. Intellect is in the secondary position. In Vrindavan, Radharani's primary competitor, Chandravali, she's known for her intelligence. That if you had to sing of ultimately a particular quality, her intelligence, but Radharani is known for her sentiment, her heart. So heart reigns supreme above intellect in Vrindavan. Whereas in Dwaraka, there's a reversal. So intellect takes the primary position and heart then the secondary position. So Chandravali expands and there is the Queen Rukmini who's in the primary position and Radharani as Satyabhama, who's in this sense the secondary queen, and she's known for her bhama, this particular nature of, what is the word? Not that she's difficult, but she's emotional, demanding. She has a particular nature that she shows. She wants Krishna to go to heaven and get her a parijata flower. There's different things. And Rukmini, we're told, is very submissive. When Krishna wants teasing her to see what kind of a reaction he would get, suggests that he was not a fit mate for her, maybe she could find a better husband. He had so many flaws, personality flaws, and undesirable traits, characteristics. He is joking, but seriously, she took everything he was saying seriously, and we're told, like, a tree that's in a hurricane, that's been, you know, uprooted. She fainted. She was working a chamar at the time, while Krishna was saying all of these things, that taking seriously what he said, she fainted. She didn't become angry, in other words. Satyabhama might respond to that in some sort of loving anger. Rukmini, it was unthinkable to her, she fainted. So, anyway, this kind of understanding is there. But then it makes it perplexing to say in the Chaitanya Charitamritam that Radharani, that Gadadhar Pandit is comparable to Rukmini. So those who know some ontology, they'll say, well, this is perplexing, because we understand that normally going out of Vrindavan in the Dwarka would be this way. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, who we understand to be the remainder of Radharani after Krishna has plundered the heart and halo, you're telling is similar to Rukmini. This is bewildering. Then Srila Guru Maharaj comes to our aid, saying, yes, when you take away the heart of Radharani, then the remainder can be like Rukmini. So, again, indirectly and by inference, it's such a glorification of Radharani. Absence or heart. Heart is everything. And Guru Maharaj is once talking about this. He started singing this song that he's singing about Gorga Dadhar and Champahati. And there's this famous thing of long ago in Mahaprabhu to Baninath, or Gadadhar Baninath to a devotee known as Nayananda. He sings this song where one line in it says, of what value is a mirror to a blind person? So Guru Maharaj is saying, this is a very simple expression. And to him he said, but it's very sweet and very deep. Of what value is a mirror to a blind person? So, when Srila Guru Maharaj says that at one point Gadadhar Pandit, when Mahaprabhu said, or Gadadhar Pandit asked for permission to go to Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu denied that. So, this is perplexing. In Guru Maharaj's own words, think. But the queen of Vrindavan in Krishna Leela, Radharani, she's being told in Gaur Leela, you can't go to Vrindavan. Like sometimes the devotees go, they're asking, like, can I go to Vrindavan? Can I go to this one? So the queen, and sometimes they're sanctioned, and other times not. Here, the queen of Vrindavan is being told, no, you cannot do it. Why? Is that some sort of cruelty or compassion? Guru Maharaj continues and saying, what will it be for her to enter Vrindavan without her heart? It's a compassionate prohibition. Not some sort of cruelty. It's unthinkable. Radharani will re-enter Vrindavan absent her heart? Not possible. So when Gadadhar Pandit understood that Mahaprabhu will spend his final days in Puri, we know after taking sannyas, 6 years approximately, travel throughout India, sometimes returning to Puri, Rath Yatra, etc. At 6 years, if he has 24 years of life as Nimai Pandit, then 24 more years. So the first 6 as a sannyasi, traveling, preaching throughout India, that leaves 18 years, then another 6 in Puri, but then last 12 years, so it means 18 in Puri, last 12 years in seclusion. The Srut Damodar Ramananda. And sometimes Gadadhar Pandit every day is giving a Bhagwat class, as Guru Maharaj said, almost every day. So Gadadhar Pandit is giving Bhagavatam class at Todagopinath temple. And Mahaprabhu and the devotees come and hear Gadadhar Pandit. So imagine Radharani is explaining the Bhagavatam. As Guru Maharaj says in that famous song, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Kathayam Prati Patam Anubhutam Apyalab Davideya Tad Akila Rasa Murti Shamalila Avalambam Madhura Rasadi Sri Radha Pada Padmam Prapadye. Although her name is not mentioned in the pages of the Bhagavatam, actually the Bhagavatam every step of the way is take us in the direction of the service of her lotus feet, which is otherwise known as Krishna consciousness. So that Gadadhar Pandit is giving the Bhagavatam class, and as Srila Guru Maharaj revealed, we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he produced one book called the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala. It's interesting. It's an arka, like an arc lamp. You ever seen an arc lamp? Only if you were involved in printing in the old days, how you burn plates, things for printing, there's this arc lamp. You have to wear special goggles. You can't. It's inconceivably bright and harmful to the naked human eye. But it's saying these slokas, if the Bhagavatam, Krishnesva, Dhammo, Bhagate, Dharma, Gyanik, Dibhikshaha, Kalo, Nashtra, Drishamesha, Puran, Arko, Purana, Arko, Dunoditaha. In the darkness of Kali Yuga, when the whole world is plunged in the darkness, the Srimad Bhagavatam rises like a sun and is Puran Arko. It's giving like arc ray light in the form of these 18,000 slokas. So it's like a sun with 18,000 rays, if you think of each sloka as a sun ray, by metaphor, an analogy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur got this inspiration when Swarup Damodar personally appeared to him once and told him, take 1,000 of those rays and present them. And he gave some guidelines. So he made a book called the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala. But then Guru Maharaj, he thought to make a collection of approximately 300 slokas. And about his, so he wrote some of the introductory, like a pranam for Veda Vyas and one for Gadadhar Pandit. And he never completed the work. And he said, ease lover. What? Ease lover. Once Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj is very candid. He goes, my Guru Maharaj wants to know, you're an ease lover. Hey, and then like to get involved in conflict and other things. But anyway, Guru Maharaj is a special type personality. But he wrote, he composed the introductory slokas to the work. And therein, in the Gadadhar Pranam, we could say is some indication of the criteria for sloka selection. We get a hint there. And so in this sloka, it says, Nilam bodhi tate tate sada subirahe kepanvitam bhandavam Srimad Bhagavatam Katha Madiraya Sanjeevayan Bhatiya Srimad Bhagavatam Swanayana Supayanai Pujayan Goshami Prabhuro Gadadhara Vibhur Bhuyat Madeka Gati. And this work that I am presenting, it is to please the focus of this work will be that it will be pleasing to Gadadhar Pandit. Goshami Prabhuro Gadadhara Vibhur Bhuyat Mandeke. And it's interesting. Goshami Prabhuro, the best of the Goshamis, Gadadhar Pandit Goshami. And who is that Gadadhar Goswami? It says, Nila Chala, in Jagannath Puri, Nilam Bodhi Tate, on the banks, on the shore of that blue ocean, it's called Nila Chala for the blue mountain, but the ocean, blue there on the shore, it says, Nilam Bodhi Tate, Sada Saviraha, Ke Panditam Bhandavam. There we find a very mysterious vision and circumstance. We see there is Krishna, but not in the way we've known Krishna previously. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subolito, know me Krishna, this Krishna, he's enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. Krishna has become Radharani, and on the shore of that ocean, he's feeling the most intense separation from himself. How peculiar and mystifying is this, and bewildering. He is experiencing, it says, svaviraha. Viraha means separation from himself. That's what he's tasting. It's very peculiar, very bewildering, mystifying, and producing inconceivable anguish in the heart. Now he's plundering the depths of Radha Bhava. As Gurudev pointed out, he said, everyone knows the joy of Milan, of union. He said, even the animals know that. When some so-called Rasik guru was saying that union was higher than separation. Gurudev said, everyone knows that so-called joy. He said, but the joy that can be, that is this peculiar, strange, nectarine joy that is experienced in love and separation, that's unknown in this world. And that's the internal cause and meaning for the appearance of Chaitanya Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is unknown. Krishna knows everything about enjoyment. He didn't come for that purpose. He already knows that he's Krishna. Right? But what Radharani, the depth of heart that's achieved when she's feeling the most intense separation from Krishna, that aroused Krishna's curiosity to experience her position. So on the shore of that blue ocean and Puri, he's there and feeling this death-producing, life-extinguishing anguish of separation. There's 10 different stages of separation. The last one is death. And each one is this level, that level, and it culminates in death. So while he's in that condition, Bandhavam, but he's with his friend. Who is his friend? Here is reference, Gadadhar Pandit. So Radharani, we know it. Lalita, who helps Radharani when she's feeling separation? Lalita Sakhi, Sudhavadar. Who can know what that is like the most? Lalita Sakhi, but also, of course, Gadadhar Pandit. So seeing Krishna with her heart in halo, experiencing the pain of that separation, Gadadhar Pandit knows that this verse from the Bhagavatam will give some relief. This verse will augment a particular sentiment. This verse will be appropriate to what you're feeling right now. This verse will be for that. And on. So Guru Maharaj says, Srimad Bhagavatam Tatha Madhiraya Sanjeevayan Bhatya. So this Bhagavat Katha that Gadadhar Pandit is giving at this time to Mahaprabhu, this is privately to Mahaprabhu, it's Madhiraya. It's like an intoxication. Saying, and Guru Maharaj is parallel, someone's devastated by love loss, like they're separated from their beloved by circumstance, by all the different possible ways that can happen. Then the friend comes and gives them some intoxicant to try and bring some relief to their heart. But these intoxicants that are being supplied by Gadadhar Pandit are Bhagavatam slokas. They're being supplied like a toxic. And so Mahaprabhu is on the verge of death. The pain of heart is so great. These intoxicants are sanjeevana. They're bringing them back to life. I once met with a great Indian composer, Jayadev. Not Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev, and telling me and another devotee about some history of singing and the singing of love songs in India. And not just telling the truth, but you want to understand something about music? All right, see if you can digest it. There are times, and you gave some examples through performance and whatever, but this is the point. That there have been performances where someone's singing a love song about separation, and particularly older people being very moved by this, they died of a heart attack during the performance. You see, there's also that level of musical performance, like young man, you know, and then we're like feeling just, you know, like fools. And you want to talk about music and singing and it. There are performances, a love song, the separation, where the audience members die in response to that. So, and that, he's telling, he's witnessed in this time. So what we can't begin to conceive of the depth of heart and the anguish of separation. So as Guru Maharaj said, what was his example? Again, he's noted for his use of example, metaphor, analogy. The golden volcano. That there's this volcanic eruption of streams of lava are coming out in the form of expressions of the anguish of separation, like a volcanic eruption. Hot lava is streaming. Very, no one has ever given an example like that in the history of existence. All these things, we have people say, what is the difference between Chaitanya Saraswati Math and any other Math who's teaching similar things? This is an example. This is what we call original wealth. You won't find these are realized expressions of Srila Guru Maharaj that become, when they're expressed and then distributed, they're called scripture, shastra. Right? And they're not only equal to what Vedic rishis have presented, they're superior to that. This is a superior expression to what was given by Vedic rishis. Then you can understand something about Guru Maharaj's position. So anyway, he's told that. So then, at that time, Gadadhar Pandit supplying these slokas like intoxicants to bring some relief to the anguish in the heart of Mahaprabhu, Sanjeeva and Bhatia. But in this process, because Gadadhar Pandit is seeing Radharani, seeing Krishna as herself under the influence of her heart and halo, put in such a piteous, pathetic position, but exalted to the extreme. Not pathetic or pitiable in a normal sense, but in the virahabhav sense, that he's reached that extreme. So Gadadhar Pandit, supplying these slokas, but it's like Srimad Bhagavati Katamadirya Sanjeevayan Bhatiya Srimad Bhagavatam Swanayanashu Pujayan, says that tears are now streaming from Gadadhar Pandit as he's reciting these slokas and seeing the effects upon Mahaprabhu, and the tears from Gadadhar Pandit's eyes, they're like lotus tears. If tears could become lotus flowers, they're streaming from Gadadhar Pandit's eyes onto the pages of the Bhagavatam, and they're washing, the ink of those slokas is being washed off of the pages. But it appears as though these lotus flower tears are their offerings, like lotus flower tear offerings to the pages of the Bhagavatam, and forever washing away what those slokas are. So Guru Maharaj, when I asked foolishly, once I said in the afternoon, sometimes we'd meet with Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev on his veranda, and sit in the long chair facing the deities, and he'd say, you told Swami Maharaj, said we will faint. And we hear, and then said, what is that? What is an example of that? And Guru Maharaj saying, what is he saying? This is the light. And Govindamar started explaining to him Goswami Maharaj is saying, what is that that will make you endure more? Huh? And he's not saying anything, but he's like thinking, what can I tell him? And Govinda Maharaj says, Gadadhar Pranam, this sloka, you explain that. And then Guru Maharaj explained that sloka to me, and I, you know, how do you say, staggered away from them around the corner against the wall with my head against my face pressed into a wall for some time. Well, Guru Govinda Maharaj and Guru, they went on having their discussion. So, those who have some capacity, they could recognize. See, when you, if you can, by the grace of Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, get some glimpse of what's contained in there, then you can understand not only something extraordinary about Krishna, Radharani, Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandits, everything you about Krishna consciousness, Gaura Leela, Krishna Leela, many, many, infinite comes screaming out. But then one will naturally ask themselves, what about the author? Who composed his understanding to compose that, to be able to give that sort of expression? So that, as Srila Gurudev says sometimes, that to properly appreciate and understand Srila Guru Maharaj requires some sukriti. That if we're talking about Srila Swami Maharaj, then we'll think, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and everyone, unless you're totally envious, you can't deny that. No. But these kind of things indicating the position of Srila Guru Maharaj, it requires some other type of seeing and capacity to appreciate. So Srila Sarasvati Thakur called Srila Guru Maharaj to his side and said, you sing the anthem of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And Srila Puri Maharaj, he was a very good singer. The leader, Kunja Babu, Kirtan Maharaj, he says, Guru Maharaj, like the Dadar Pandit, he's hesitating. Shy, in the background, hesitating. He didn't jump at the opportunity. So Kirtan Maharaj thought, well, Sridhar Maharaj is not known for his singing abilities, but Puri Maharaj, he's an excellent singer. What was his name? Prabhavananda? Prabhu? Oh, Pranavananda. You know, Pranavananda, Pranavananda. He asked him to sing. He began singing. And Sarasvati Thakur stopped him and said, I'm not interested to hear a sweet tune. And then he asked Guru Maharaj, no, I only want to hear this from your lips. And Srila Puri Maharaj was a humble Vaishnava. He later told, he said, we witnessed this mystic transmission of the Rupa Nuga line from Sarasvati Thakur to Srila Guru Maharaj. It was some sort of mystic power transmission. So in Guru Maharaj's presence, once I already pointed, he said, Rupa Nuga Dara. He's carrying the current of Rupa Goswami. And you can detect that current when it's expressed in a sloka like this, appreciating the Dhamma Kanda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is of the opinion that, you know, we call Tota Gopinath, there, that was the Gadadhar Pandit, as I said, knowing that Mahaprabhu will spend his last years in Puri, he took Ketra Sanyas. Means I'll never leave this place. And he worshipped the deity Gopinath. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is of the opinion that Mahaprabhu merged the Gopinath deity when he left the world. But we're told that when Nityananda Prabhu would go to Puri, he liked to stay with Gadadhar Pandit. And sometimes, like devotees do, they're thinking, what is the favorite thing? They bring some things. So we know in Puri, the same things are not available that are available in Navadvipa. So Nityananda Prabhu, he would think, oh, Mahaprabhu, he likes this, or he likes that. So he'd gets some bags of things that he knows that will be very favorite to Mahaprabhu, and then he would go on his journey to Puri. But sometimes, and so he's staying with Gadadhar Pandit, then giving things to Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit offering them to Gopinath. And Guru Maharaj said, then one day Mahaprabhu appeared and says, you can't deny me. He said, you're offering to Gopinath, here's Nityananda, there's you. There's Balaram, Radharani, Krishna. Mahaprabhu is saying, give me some of that prasad. So, Nityananda gives some ingredients. So we're told Radharani has some special cooking capacity. Raghava Pandit is Ganishta, and Krishna Lila, like we hear in the song every day, Ganishta takes the remnants, and Krishna gives them to Radharani. So they have their, when Krishna Lila goes underground, then in Gaura Lila these things are expressed in this way. So, Gadadhar Pandit, there's a place called something like Bharatpur in Murshidabad. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, that's where Gadadhar Pandit is from. And was in Guru Maharaj, you know, a shy student in Navadvip. Nimai Pandit was in this arrogant scholar mode, so sometimes Gadadhar Pandit was avoiding him. And they'd see each other in the street, Gadadhar Pandit trying to like not make eye contact and walk in his hand. Nimai Pandit, Gadadhar, come here, I want to talk to you. And always teasing Gadadhar in different ways. And Gadadhar, because Mahaprabhu starts off with Nimai Pandit as with some different types of bhakta bhav, different types of bhakta culminating in Radha bhav, but there's not a full-blown expression of Radha bhav. So, Gadadhar Pandit said, why is Nimai Pandit always teasing me and singling me out for some kind of new humiliation? But it's another type of play. But so Gadadhar Pandit is saying, he's so beautiful and such a charming personality and everything perfect in every way, just he could only become a devotee of Krishna. But that's, it's Krishna. But she's saying, Gadadhar Pandit, Radharani of Gadadhar Pandit saying, he would become a devotee of Krishna. And that's a codified way, encrypted way of saying of what the future will bring. Yes, Nimai Pandit will become a devotee of Krishna, and not only any devotee of Krishna, but the greatest devotee of Krishna, Radharani. Mahabhavrupini Radharapurani. This is a very sweet pastime, the way these things all unfold. So, today is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. And as Guru Maharaj said, then we should pray that our ultimate aspiration, as expressed in the Mat Sanam, Srimat Chaitan Matar, Sotamata Bhadra, Gita Kirti Adyasin, Bibrat Sambhati Ganga Tata, Nikatat Navadipa Kolaji Rajya, Yastushi Gora Sara Sata Nirata Gora Gata Dhananti Nityam Rupa Nudashi Pitimati Guru Goranga Radha Jitasa Radhika Maravasam, as expressed by Gaur Goswami, that the blessings, the grace of Gadadhar Pandit, that we can, our service aspiration in connection with the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, the Rupa Nirgalai, and the direction of our Guru Varga, that can be fulfilled, become meaningful and substantial in time. So Sadadhar Pandit took initiation from Sundari, Sundari Vidyanidhi, whom Mahaprabhu called Premanidhi. Sundari Vidyanidhi, we're told, and Krishna Lila Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Radharani. So, in Gaura Lila, Sadadhar Pandit takes initiation from Vrishabhanu Maharaj, her father. It's all perfect. Achyutananda, son of Advaita Acharya, took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. And some others, a small group of highly exalted Parshadam Bhakta. Yes. Yes. And Gurudev referred that as the private chamber of his bhajan. And Guru Maharaj told once, that's like, he said, Madhura Rasa to the extreme. So you got Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhar, which means Radharani. He said, Madhura Rasa to the extreme degree.
So in our tradition, that appeared there, those deities, but then it hasn't been continued.
Well, no, I mean, there was, and Champahati is Gaura Gadadhar, I believe also. But he's saying that type of private chamber of bhajan, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that kind of says what it is. For the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Gaura Gadadhar. But for someone, say, to imitate Bhaktivinoda Thakur's private chamber of bhajan would not be helpful, could be injurious. Someone who does not properly conceive who is Gauranga, who does not properly conceive who is Gadadhar. So you have Gauranga Nagaribad. They're thinking, seeing Gauranga as Krishna, the enjoyer, the womanizer from Vrindavan, then you leave the science, you violate some of the tenets of the science of devotion given by Rupa Goswami and end up in some type of sahaj, the what is Guru Maharaj called, the garbage of sahajyaism. And the name of I'm worshipping Gaura Gadadhar. And we've seen this personally, some past associates who think they're doing that. They have some misconception about who is Mahaprabhu, what to speak of Gadadhar. So you can see, when you hear from Srila Guru Maharaj, then you're hearing from someone properly conceiving all these positions. That's why Saraswati Thakur and the Sri Gauranamatam Sarupa Viditam Rupa Vijayan Adritam Slok said, oh, here's someone who, what I've come to give has received it. So I hear the ability to weigh, assess, and establish the value and placement and interrelationship of Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, as you say, or Gadadhar Pandit. It's not the realm of neophytes or child's play, but substantial devotees can properly understand their position. So Srila Saraswati Thakur chose for our worship Gauranga and Radha Govinda. Who is Radha Govinda? They're combined as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We have Guru, Gauranga, Radha Govinda. In other words, Radha Krishna, just as before, we heard when many of these deities were established in Vrindavan, there was Radha Raman or Govindaji. They were by themselves. For substantial devotees, they're seeing, they know Krishna is never without the company of his Shakti and feminine counterpart. But we're told sometimes that Janava Devi, the wise consort of Nityananda Prabhu, that she established these deities of Radharani. Sometimes we see that they don't they don't, even by, you know, prima facie, they don't appear to be of the same kind. You see, Krishna's like, and then Radharani, like, you know, what was your name? Why does the Murti want? And because they were not, they did not appear at the same time. But perhaps seeing the qualification of the people, think maybe they'll get some misconception for putting Radharani there, or her representation, so they'll understand Krishna and Radharani, Radha and Krishna. Don't think of Krishna alone, don't make that mistake and go that route. So in a similar way, we can see after coming in connection with the conception of Srila Saraswati Thakur, which springs out of Ramananda Sambhad, what Mahaprabhu revealed to Ramananda Roy, Mahabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Dui Ekuru, that he is Rasaraj Krishna and Mahabhav Radharani combined as one, then now if we see Radha and Krishna absent Mahaprabhu, we feel something. Like, oh, where is Mahaprabhu? But shows the power of his conceptual transmission is that we will see Radha and Krishna and think of Mahaprabhu, even if he's not apparent. The power of Saraswati Thakur's potency coming in connection with Guru Maharaj, you will not be able to think of Krishna Lila without contemplating Gaura Lila. Yata yata gaura padaragamu vindeta bhaktin kritapunya rasi. And that's corroborated and echoed in that sloka of Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, Tunga Vidya, Ashtasaki Tunga Vidya, that Sukritivan, Sumedasa, those of refined theistic intellect, they'll realize Krishna Leela is springing from Gaur Leela, Navadvipa is distributing Vrindavan. The entranceway there is to the service, the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga, Gaura Padaravinde, Vindeta Bhakti, Krita Punyarati, in Sumedasa, Sukritivan, Punyarati, Tata, Tato, Sarpati, Hridya Kasmat, and the heart, what flow will be in there? The heart will come under the influence of the flow. The last thing says, Radha, Radha Padam Bodha Sudam Burati. So I said, the Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi will flow in the heart. That means the nectarine ocean of the service of her holy lotus feet. But very beautiful, inconceivably charming, but a very delicate matter in approach and presentation.